Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Iran and the U.S. are holding their third round of indirect talks. U.S. Special Mideast Envoy Steve Witkoff is meeting with Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi in an effort to convince Iran to halt its enrichment of uranium and limit or stop its production of long-range missiles. A prominent advisor to Iran's supreme leader has suggested that the country could reach an immediate agreement in talks with the U.S. if they focused solely on Iran's commitment not to develop nuclear weapons.
Omani Foreign Minister Badr al-Busaidi leaves a hotel with his delegation en route to Iran-US negotiations. The state-run Oman News Agency says al-Busaidi is expected to meet with the American negotiating team this morning to convey the Iranian perspective and in turn listen to the ideas and proposals put forward by the American side. The talks are viewed as a last chance for diplomacy as America's gathered a fleet of aircraft and warships to the Middle East to pressure Tehran into a deal. President Donald Trump wants the deal to constrain Iran's nuclear program, and he sees an opportunity while the country is struggling at home with growing dissent following nationwide protests last month. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In California, the FBI served search warrants yesterday at the Los Angeles Unified School District's headquarters and the home of its superintendent, Alberto Carvalho. The FBI also searched a third location near Miami, where he previously led the public schools. Federal officials would not give details of the nature of the investigation involving the nation's second largest school district.
The FBI is serving search warrants at the home and office headquarters of the superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District, Alberto Carvalho. TV news footage showed agents in FBI shirts and jackets outside Carvalho's modest home in the San Pedro neighborhood. A person familiar with the probe says it's part of an ongoing investigation. At the beginning of the school year, Carvalho told CBS News it was clear that amid federal immigration crackdowns, there was a lot of fear in families that he described as having fragile immigration status. He said the district was working with a number of cities to develop and implement a set of rapid awareness and communication protocols and doing what they could to lessen fear among parents. The nature of the investigation was not immediately clear. I'm Jennifer King.
In other news, AP correspondent Ed Donahue reports on questions by lawmakers to the Surgeon General nominee.
Wellness influencer and entrepreneur Dr. Casey Means, President Trump's pick to be Surgeon General, appeared before a Senate committee. Means is not currently an active physician. She was asked about measles and flu shots.
I believe vaccines save lives. I believe they're an important part of public health.
Virginia Democrat Tim Kaine asked Means, does
the flu vaccine has efficacy in reducing serious injury or hospitalization? This is an easy one, doctor.
Her eventual answer.
I support the CDC's guidance on the flu vaccine.
Means told senators her vision is to address the root causes of chronic disease.
Our nation is angry, exhausted, and hurting from preventable diseases.
Means' disillusionment with traditional medicine drove her to a career in which she promoted various products, at times without disclosing how she could benefit financially.
This is AP News. Mayor Mamdani's relationship with NYPD is starting to get icy after officers were pelted in a snowball fight. AP correspondent Julie Walker has more.
A massive snowball fight in New York City where police were hit creates a frosty situation between Mayor Mamdani and his police commissioner. The NYPD putting out wanted posters for some who threw snowballs at police who were taken to the hospital. Mamdani doubling down on downplaying the issue.
You know, I've said time and time again that having seen these videos, to me, it was a snowball fight that got out of hand, and it should be treated accordingly.
Police Commissioner Tisch and the PBA calling the incident disgraceful and criminal. Monday's giant snowball fight in Washington Square Park, which was promoted on social media, as innocuous as it seems, presents the latest political test for Mamdani just weeks into his term. Julie Walker, New York.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The Cuban government says its soldiers killed 4 people and wounded 6 others who were on a Florida-registered speedboat that entered Cuban waters on Wednesday. Cuba says the people on the boat fired at soldiers first, injuring a Cuban officer. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
It is highly unusual to see shootouts in open sea like that. It's not something that happens every day. It's something, frankly, that hasn't happened with Cuba in a very long time. But we're going to find out. We're not going to base our conclusions on what they've told us.
The Cuban government says the people on the speedboat were Cubans living in the U.S. and that at least 2 of them are wanted by Cuban authorities, quote, in connection with acts of terrorism, end quote. I'm Donna Warder.
The Justice Department says it is looking into whether it improperly withheld documents from the Epstein files. This comes days after several news organizations noted that the public records left out summaries of a series of FBI interviews with the woman who came forward after Jeffrey Epstein's arrest in 2019. The unidentified woman claimed to have been sexually assaulted by Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein in the 1980s when she was a minor. The story was first reported by journalist Roger Sullenberger. In a post on social media, the DOJ says it is reviewing files that have been flagged by the public and will publish them consistent with the law, but they did not explain why records related to this specific accusation might have been withheld. Jennifer King, Washington.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton testifies before the House Oversight Committee Thursday behind closed doors in the Clintons' hometown of Chappaqua, New York, as part of a congressional investigation into the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The 2 days of depositions also include former President Bill Clinton. Republicans have long wanted to press the Clintons for answers about their connections with Epstein and his former confidant Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving a 20-year federal prison sentence for conspiring with Epstein. Donna Warder, Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says his negotiators will meet with Trump envoys tomorrow before another round of trilateral talks with Russia. Zelensky says the meeting will address a possible post-war recovery plan for Ukraine while setting the stage for meetings with Moscow's negotiators, perhaps next week. He insists sticking points, like who keeps what land, is not for envoys to decide.
It has to go to the level of leaders.
White House official says Zelensky spoke today with President Trump, a day after the president spent very little time during his marathon State of the Union talking about the war.
The killing and slaughter between Russia and Ukraine.
Zelensky has said the president set a June deadline for ending the war and will likely pressure both sides to meet it. President Trump laid out a narrative of success on his watch during last night's marathon State of the Union, and now has to sell it.
We're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it.
It was a test drive for the message he'll try to pitch Americans before the pivotal midterm elections, where Republicans hope to maintain their majorities. But despite the president's claims about economic progress, Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger says Americans have a simple question. Is he working to make life more affordable?
We all know the answer is no.
Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says the affordability issue will dog the president until November.
The buck stops at the White House, and he's been in office long enough now that most Americans are not going to give him a pass on that.
The president will be in Texas Friday to start the sales pitch, a day after Vice President Vance visits a Wisconsin factory. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The private prison company GEO Group is fighting a lawsuit that alleges that immigration detainees in Aurora, Colorado were forced to work as janitors and in other jobs and were paid only $1 a day to supplement meager meals. GEO argued that the 2014 lawsuit should be tossed out because as a government contractor, it's immune from lawsuits. After a judge disagreed, GEO Group asked the Supreme Court to allow it to quickly appeal the ruling. The justices have refused. In another immigration detainee lawsuit against the company in Washington state, the company was ordered to pay $23 million. There have been weeks of demonstrations in Escondido, California, against officers from Immigration and Customs Enforcement training at a local gun range, the local police department range. ICE officers have been training at the gun range for more than a decade, and now ICE has a contract with the city, but the arrangement went unnoticed until recent fatal shootings of U.S. citizens at the hands of federal officers. Residents are demanding that the city stop allowing ICE to train at the range. Resident Richard Garner says, "We don't want ICE anywhere near Escondido or fraternizing with the police." Escondido City Council is scheduled Wednesday to discuss the city's contract with ICE. I'm Donna Warder.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is out with this year's list of nominees. Among the 10 first-timers, Phil Collins, who is already in the hall with Genesis. Here and now. The late Luther Vandross. Lauryn Hill, the first hip-hop artist to win an Album of the Year Grammy. I need you tonight. INXS is also nominated for the first time, with others including Melissa Etheridge, Shakira, and Wu-Tang Clan. Mariah Carey's nominated for a third time. He's a smooth operator. Sade for a second. Jealous again. The Black Crowes are back, with Iron Maiden, Oasis, Billy Idol, and others. I'm Sagar Megani.
Newly released Connecticut State Trooper video shows former WWE CEO Vince McMahon crashing his Bentley on the Merritt Parkway in Westport last July as law enforcement tries to catch up to him.
Why were you driving all over 100 miles an hour?
It's my granddaughter's birthday. I got to get this the next exit.
Right. Did you see me trying to catch up to you behind you?
I didn't see that. I saw lights, but it didn't look normal.
Video shows the 80-year-old swerve, clip a BMW convertible, hit a guardrail, and careen back onto the roadway. No one was seriously hurt.
I haven't been driving my car in God knows how long.
Right. It was right in front of you. You went straight at it. At 100 miles an hour.
Police say a piece of the Bentley flew across the parkway, hitting a Ford, driven by a guy wearing a WWE t-shirt on his way to work. McMahon was cited for reckless driving and granted a probation program. I'm Julie Walker.
Harvard has announced that former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers will resign from teaching at Harvard University amid a campus review of his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Summers, who had been on leave since November, and whose name appeared hundreds of times in newly released Epstein files, will leave at the end of the school year. He will remain on leave until then. Summers served as a Treasury Secretary under former President Bill Clinton and then led Harvard as president for 5 years, starting in 2001. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Authorities say a third person has died following a shooting at an ice rink in Providence, Rhode Island. Gerald Dorgan had been in critical condition ever since his ex-son-in-law opened fire at the skating rink February 16th, killing Dorgan's daughter, the shooter's ex-wife, and Dorgan's adult grandson, the shooter's son. Dorgan's wife, the shooter's ex-mother-in-law, and a family friend were wounded. As people jumped on the shooter, one witness says the gunman pulled out another weapon and killed himself. Police say the gunman specifically targeted family members. I'm Donna Warder.
Once again, shovels scraping pavement along parts of the East Coast where people are removing snow after another round. This time a lot less than earlier in the week, says National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orovec.
It wasn't a major accumulation, but again, you know, just some additional insult to injury.
But he says another round is in the forecast.
We have the potential maybe on Monday for another potential heavy snow event across parts of the Ohio Valley, Midwest into the Northeast.
New Yorker Haley Glickman-Hawk, who is out shoveling, says she used to live in Boston, which got even more snow, and hopes it doesn't get that bad here.
Where you're like packing in the snow to try to get more on top of the pile without it falling off. We haven't hit that yet, so.
Power outages, flight delays and cancellations, traffic accidents, and other weather-related issues continue in some parts of the Northeast due to the snow. Julie Walker, New York.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street, erasing their losses for the week. NVIDIA and other big tech companies led the way. The S&P 500 rose 0.8% Wednesday for its second gain in a row. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 307 points. That's about 0.6%. The Nasdaq Composite climbed 1.3% as stocks in software and other tech industries continued to rebound. NVIDIA rose 1.4% ahead of its latest profit report, which arrived after trading closed for the day. The giant AI chip company once again beat Wall Street's estimates. Stock markets rose in Europe and Asia. Treasury yields held relatively steady in the bond market. Seth Sutel, New York.
Discord is postponing its controversial age verification policy. That comes after users of the popular platform for gamers to communicate online expressed strong objections and privacy concerns. Earlier this month, the company said it would roll out an age verification policy in March that would include face scanning or requests for an ID upload for users it could not determine were adults. The company says it's able to proactively determine the ages of the vast majority of users by looking at account-level signals. That includes how long the account has existed, whether there's a payment method on file, and general patterns of the account. When Discord rolls out the revised age verification system in the second half of 2026, it will now offer more options for users to verify their ages. I'm Haya Panjwani.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. The Pistons held off the Thunder for a 124-116 win in a meeting of the NBA's Eastern and Western Conference leaders. Cade Cunningham had 29 points, as did Jalen Duren.
Doing everything that we know we can do, holding ourselves to play at our standard the whole game.
College basketball, number 6 UConn snapped 15th-ranked St. John's 13-game winning streak with a 72-40 rout. Women's college hoops, number 8 Michigan held off number 13 Ohio State 88-86 in OT. NHL, the Devils honored U.S. men's hockey gold medalist and golden goal scorer Jack Hughes before their 2-1 loss to the Sabres. MLB, the Yankees will retire CC Sabathia's number 52 on September 26th. And NFL, the Commanders and Jaguars will host games in London next season, with Jacksonville set to become the first NFL team to play 2 games overseas in a season. Hillary Knight says the Olympic gold medal winning U.S. women's hockey team is moving past what she calls a distasteful joke by President Donald Trump. Trump drew attention after telling the gold medal winning U.S. men's team he would also have to invite the women's team to the White House. Knight said the video of Trump's remarks is taking attention away from the respectful relationship between the men's and women's teams. Goaltender Jeremy Swayman said the men in the moment, quote, should have reacted differently. The University of Cincinnati is suing Brendan Sorsby, accusing the former Bearcats quarterback of breaching his contract following his transfer to Texas Tech. The university filed the lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio on Wednesday. According to the lawsuit, Sorsby signed a name, image, and likeness agreement in July 2025 covering the 25 and 26 seasons, and that there would be a $1 million buyout if Sorsby transferred. Sorsby committed to Texas Tech for a reported $5 million. His agent says he intends to fight the lawsuit. FIFA President Gianni Infantino says he has complete confidence in Mexico as a World Cup co-host, despite days of cartel violence in the country that has left at least 70 people dead. FIFA says Mexico can still safely co-host the World Cup despite deadly cartel violence linked to a top drug lord's death. On Monday, authorities reported at least 70 deaths after cartel members burned cars and blocked roads in many states. Some local league matches have already been postponed. Infantino says he trusts Mexico's authorities and FIFA is monitoring events closely. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia has launched a barrage of 420 drones and 13 missiles at Ukraine. This latest attack comes hours before US and Ukrainian envoys prepare to hold more talks in Geneva on ending the war, now in its fifth year. The nighttime bombardment targeted critical infrastructure and residential areas across 8 regions of Ukraine. Video provided by the State Emergency Service shows the upper floors of residential buildings on fire in Zaporizhia, the region's home to Europe's largest nuclear plant, which is currently held by Russia and remains a sticking point in peace negotiations. The service reports at least 9 people were injured in that attack. The General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine also adds Russia's used over 5,200 kamikaze drones against Ukraine. A court in Bangladesh's capital has ordered authorities to request that Interpol issue a red notice for the arrest of a British lawmaker on charges of corruption in a private real estate project. Tulip Sadiq faces charges of corruption in the country for using her connection with her aunt, former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, to influence the process of illegally awarding land to a private company. Sadiq has already been sentenced to 6 years in jail in Bangladesh in 3 other other corruption cases, all involving Hasina. In January last year, Sadiq resigned as a British government minister in the cabinet of Prime Minister Keir Starmer because of her ties to the former Bangladesh Prime Minister. I'm Charles de Letesma.
A security video obtained by the Associated Press shows Jewish settlers storming the Palestinian hamlet of Susia and torching property in the southern West Bank. The attack occurred on Tuesday night, and the footage shows dozens of Israeli settlers carrying clubs, rocks, and flammable liquid. Palestinian resident Fatima al-Nawaja said she was huddling inside her home when on the security camera she saw at least 30 Israeli settlers enter the village, setting fire to her family's truck and a caravan. EU representative Alexander Stutzman condemns the violence.
Settlers' violence should not have a place here. It's totally unacceptable, whether it's here or anywhere else.
The United Nations says Israeli settler attacks in the Israeli-occupied West Bank have surged since October 2023, bringing death, injuries, and widespread damage to Palestinians and their homes. Canada is sending $6.7 million US dollars in food aid to people in Cuba as the island faces a tightened US embargo and threats of tariffs against countries providing it with oil. Foreign Affairs Minister Anita Anand has said the funding is aimed at addressing urgent needs and that she did not discuss the decision with Secretary of State Mark Rubio or other US officials. The funding will be delivered through United Nations agencies instead of the Cuban government. The resident coordinator of United Nations in Cuba, Francisco Pichon, told the AP that fuel access was critical for their immediate response to Hurricane Melissa and more extensive operations. Cuba is facing an increasingly dire energy crisis that has heightened in recent weeks after oil shipments from Venezuela were halted when the U.S. attacked the South American country in early January and arrested its then leader. Britain's Parliamentary House Speaker has told lawmakers that he tipped off police that former UK ambassador to the US, Peter Mandelson, was a flight risk. Mandelson is facing accusations of leaking information to the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The UK's House of Commons said Wednesday that he had told police of information he had heard without disclosing the source. Lawyers for Mandelson said his arrest Monday at his home in North London for alleged misconduct in public office was the result of a baseless suggestion that he planned to flee the country. Mandelson was released on bail early Tuesday morning after more than 9 hours of questioning. He denies any wrongdoing. It's the home of the Mona Lisa and once a royal palace, but now the historic Louvre Museum is getting a new boss. Announcing the new appointment on Wednesday, French government spokeswoman Maude Bourgeon told France and the world that Christophe Leribaud, a veteran museum director, would take on the new and challenging role. Leribaud takes over from Laurence Descartes, who resigned on Tuesday, 4 months after the brazen heist in October of the French crown jewels. Leribaud will be inheriting quite a list of difficulties, including security weaknesses exposed by the recent robbery, a burst water pipe near the Mona Lisa, staff walkouts, and the revelation of a ticket fraud operation. However, the new director brings a proven track record. He's been running another world-renowned French landmark and tourist attraction, the Palace of Versailles. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.